Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Am I tough enough?
Strong and stable leadership.
Total rhubarb.
Hell yes, I'm tough enough.
Shut the fridge.
Not another one.
It's the Politics Show podcast.
Love podcasts, hate nonsense. It's the Politics Show podcast,
whoa,
ladies and gentlemen.
Whoa.
You said let's go.
Did I? Well, yeah, but
you
I...
You said let's go.
All right.
The applause sounds much less significant when there's only two of us, doesn't it?
Well, I wasn't ready.
You want to do it again?
No, that's fine.
How's your day going?
Well, thank you for asking, Ollie. This morning, I went to a press event, and I was talking to two people who were very, very interested in talking to me, and in a way that I don't think they've ever been that interested in talking to me before. And as I left, I realised that my top was undone. And then I left, and Jade, can I mention you on the, is that right? Jade and I were walking away, and I started screaming at her and she started screaming back at me. And then we had to take a little sit down moment outside London's XL where I had to calm down.
When you say your top was undone, what does that mean?
Well, Ollie, this is a sustainable dress, and I have learned you should not be buying sustainable, because the stuff that is the stuff that's sustainable, frankly, doesn't work as well as the plastic shit.
Yeah.
Right. And so what had happened was the buttons didn't hold themselves in place. And so, but it was so far down. Like I turned to Jade and I said, is it that bad? And she just said, yes.
Will you be returning to a press event with said people?
I'm going to have to return to a press event with said people.
You looking forward to that?
Probably not as much as they are. How was your morning?
Fine, yeah. By comparison. I don't really, you know.
I'm worried it's going to do it again. Okay.
I've only had one high-profile wardrobe malfunction. Which you took great pleasure in at the time. And I'd like you, actually, as a lesson for you in the future, to understand that the way I'm behaving right now in sort of being, you know, understanding, empathetic, I bet that was terrible. You know, that's a nightmare for you, Ava Santina. Mm. Just a little lesson, perhaps, in how you could respond when someone has a wardrobe malfunction in future, rather than necessarily tweeting about it yourself and drawing everyone's attention to it.
But that was really funny. That was so funny. Records a whole video with
go ahead.
All right, yeah, he filmed a whole video with his flies undone and didn't realize until it had gone live.
And this was the problem, dear listeners and viewers, was because I was in character for large parts. I am an actor. And I was in character for large parts of the video as a kind of 80s wide boy sort of floor trader in the city, jazzy sort of suspenders and a flashy tie and bother boots and all the rest of it. A slightly confused man, it must be said. Some people thought that I deliberately left my flies undone as part of the character.
It looked like artistic choice.
Yes. And very helpfully, you clarified for them that no, it was in fact an accident and that they were just undone.
What was funny was I actually remember you looking at it and going, when I pointed it out, and I remember your no, and it was trauma. It had a real...
You do an impression of it?
You just sort of went, no.
Yes. Yes, Ollie, yes. My morning's been fine. Thank you. I've been interviewing James O'Brien, the video of which will be appearing on our YouTube channel, I think possibly maybe before this podcast makes it to air. So go and have a look at that. Get involved.
Such is the magic of editing.
Yes, indeed. It's a beautiful thing. And so we're doing a little bonus podcast today. Just you and I still. Where is Ed Campbell?
I think he's got the cold that I have.
That's a funny way of saying you gave him a cold.
No. I think I'm getting it right now.
Oh, he gave it to you.
Well, I felt it coming on like an hour ago. And so I'm thinking, basically...
I'll tell you what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I don't want to be sat in a basement next to you for 20 minutes if you're infectious.
You're quite far away from me. And you've been sitting right by Ed and Laura, who's also a carrier. They got it at the ULEZ protest on Saturday.
No, see, normally it's Ed. Normally it's Ed who's like fucking the Gestapo when it comes to people being sick, right? Mm. He's like disappearing people. He's actually sent me home before on a work day.
Yeah, but to be fair, you came in crawling on your hands and knees. There was no need for you to have come into work that day. Oh, like Billy, don't be a hero.
Well, I am a hero.
Oh, the podcast, what will they do without me?
We all know I carry this podcast.
Look, the thing when you do, like, use a device like that, it has to not be true.
I don't know how to respond to that. Fuck. Okay. So, are you unwell? Should you go home?
Not right now. No, I'm fine.
But you're getting unwell?
Yeah.
Great.
Well, I thought that maybe, because it could be two things. Basically, I can feel like a bad throat coming on.
Why don't you go and get some first defense?
Well, no, because it could also be that I think I ate an almond earlier, accidentally. And so it might be that.
Are you allergic to nuts?
Yeah, no, just almonds have just the... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. Do you need an EpiPen?
No. This was hours ago. I think I had it this morning when we had a coffee. I think because I remember tasting it and thinking, oh, that tastes a bit almondy. But I'm fine.
Is this dangerous?
Well, it was hours ago. If I was going to die,
what
I'd
does that
be
mean?
Dead.
Right.
And, you know, what a relief that would be.
Should we talk about assisted dying?
Yeah, go on.
So, they were debating in Parliament yesterday, Ava.
Well, they were debating in Westminster Hall, which doesn't quite have the same...
It's technically Parliament, isn't it?
No, of course it is Parliament, but it doesn't have the same...
Just doesn't hit
the same. There's no legislation.
It's a petition-based debate, right?
It's not a bill. Yeah. So it's not something that's going to be... It's not like it had its... It's not a bill that just had its first or second reading. It's just an idea. They basically had a meeting of ideas. They met on the battleground of ideas yesterday.
You're fucking kidding me.
That's what they did.
No way. The MPs entered the marketplace of ideas.
They did, yeah.
Did anyone buy anything?
Well, they bought Esther Ranson's, you know, wanging on. Should we take that out?
I mean, I think it's funny.
Sorry. I'm joking. I'm very much on her side.
You're right. She will not shut up, will she, about that stage four lung cancer that she's got. It's terrible. Yeah, wanging on. Oh, Esther, Blade wheeling out Esther Ranson again to talk about assisted dying.
I know.
Fucking unbelievable.
I don't like it because every time she's up for... I feel like we hear from her so often, and every time we hear from her,
well, all the
it
other,
makes me so upset, and so I can't stand it.
All the other spokespeople have died.
Yeah, but not in the assisted manner in which they wanted
to. No, they've died unassisted.
Yeah. The thing I really don't like about this is that she's able to go, she's booked in with Dignitas and her family can't go with her.
Oh, because, well...
I really don't like that.
Yeah, no, neither do I. Okay. I'll put my unassisted dying jokes aside for a moment. So there's a problem there for her, really, isn't there? Which is that by becoming such a campaigner on this, there's a horrible truth now to the situation, which is that, generally speaking, I think a lot of police officers will use discretion if someone was to go to Dignitas with a relative who was going to kill themselves, right? You might get a knock on the door. You might get a cursory. Perhaps. It's against the law to do so, right? Because it's, you know, you're helping someone to die. But because she has been so open, so vocal and campaigned on this, if her family were to go with her to do that, it then puts the police in a very difficult position.
Yeah.
And it's almost something that she's had to sacrifice to talk about this in the way that she has. Because if she hadn't, it's possible that they would have been able to get away with going with her. And I don't think they can now.
Her daughter has said that they've already made the decision that they won't go with her because of exactly what you've just said.
Yeah, look, I mean, to just get into the argument about this, I don't understand the argument that goes, you don't have sovereignty over your own life.
Well, when you think about Britain still being a Christian country,
yep.
Can you understand it through that lens? Because that's what's holding it back.
Truthfully?
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Sorry, I'm not asking you to understand Christianity. I'm asking you to understand that...
Many people have asked me that.
Yeah, but I'm asking you to understand that a lot of members of Parliament have grown up Christian.
Yep.
And so this is the ultimate
I believe that every
sin.
Life is sacred, yeah.
Well, yeah, it's the ultimate thing you absolutely can't do. Couldn't even be buried in a graveyard until recently.
Look.
If this had happened.
With the greatest respect, I think that's hokey cokey nonsense.
Yeah, well, so do I. But like, I know you're their argument.
You are religious, and I'm aware that you're not. I don't want to tell. I don't want to say what you are and aren't. It's not my place to do so.
This fucking guy talking for me all the time.
Are you religious?
Well, yeah, but I don't.
Yeah, so I'm aware that when I start taking the piss out of this, that I'm also semi taking the piss out of you, which is not what I'm trying to do. But that's why I'm being a bit.
Do you know what it is? It's sort of like I don't see the logic in it. I really cherry pick what I like. But
that's your right.
Growing up Catholic, it's very difficult to explain to non-Catholics the how deeply embedded the teaching is in you.
Mm.
It's, you know, I mean, you must have heard of Catholic shame. Or Catholic guilt.
Yes, of course I have. Yeah.
You know, it's taught from so young that these sort of ideas I can imagine people would rebel against, but not even realizing they're rebelling against them. So, you know, when someone says, well, you puts down an extremely logical argument like Esther Ranson has done here, a Catholic would go, well, no, you can't do that. And even though all of your logic is telling you that that's a really sensible point that she's making, and obviously she should have the right to do it. In your brain, you're like, well, no. It's like little rats. You know, like when you give rats little shocks?
Yes.
That's the Catholic Church.
Okay. Okay. So there's so much. There's a ginormous conversation to have here, right? The first is my belief that the state should be secular. I think there is no place for... I think that individuals have freedom to practice whatever religion they like. I think it's part of the private realm and as should remain there. I think it's deeply immoral to impose any sort of governmental state decision about, particularly one that has legally binding power, based on a moral system derived from religion that someone might not follow, right? So, and I think we'll probably end up talking about actual belief in a second. But the idea that because your nation state is deeply ingrained with the Church of England, and you believe that there's some benevolent big bloke in the sky with a long beard means that I can't go and kill myself or have a help killing myself, really fucking grates on me. However, the ginormous problem with that from a moral perspective is that I am entirely conscious of the fact that basically all of my morals, basically all of the simple laws of state that I think should exist, for example, thou shalt not kill, are essentially derived originally from the Bible, right? That there is this book that I think shouldn't have any bearing on my life whatsoever, and yet most of what I think about what is right and wrong derives from it. And I struggle from a moral position. If you can't point to religion and say, I know that this is right and wrong because there is this thing, this higher power that tells me it is so and has taught me that it is so. If I say I don't believe in that thing, so where the hell is my basis for my morality coming from? Do I believe that there is some fucking mega superhighway floating above the planet from which we can derive our morality about what's right and wrong? No, I don't. How do I know that it's wrong to kill a person? What is the objective thing I can point to and say that it's immoral to do something if I don't have religion in my life? I struggle with that.
Mm. Well, being an atheist is a belief system. And so it's unfair to ask other religions to believe in your belief system as well.
Mm.
You're not like the control variable from which all other religions grow from. Mm. You know, you have your own set of beliefs.
I think, as I get older, I would have previously described myself as an atheist. I think I'm agnostic now, to be quite honest with you. I don't know what the answer is. I find...
But it's cultural rather than religion, is what I'm saying, is why, yeah, we're continuing this argument.
Yeah. I can't get my head, I can't get past the problem of evil. I think if you want to tell me that there's a God and that he's omnipotent and he's omnibenevolent and he's omniscient, I explain to me the parasite that eats the eyeball of a starving African child and serves no other purpose. Like, how does that exist in the world where that creator exists?
Yeah.
However, I can't, I think it's actually probably just more likely than not. Like, this is really A-level philosophy now. Is it a teleological argument? I can't fucking remember. The one that's like, basically, I think the probability of all of this stuff around us just happening by chance and being totally random, I think the odds of that are far lower than there just being a higher power that created all of this. And that is my religious beliefs in a nutshell, Ava Santina. Thank you for asking.
But we've just so wildly misinterpreted it and decided that this man is like, who, the overlord, is very loving and benevolent.
Yeah.
You know, maybe
doesn't have to be.
Maybe he's a bit of a dick.
I would say he was a dick, yeah. I say absolutely was a dick, judging by the behaviour of a lot of the people involved in the Catholic Church. I would say so, yeah. I certainly would.
I like what we've done here.
Yes. Should we talk about assisted dying or should we continue talking about religion?
We are talking about assisted dying, though, because that's what the... So sort of like Danny Kruger yesterday... No. I don't want to include him in what I was just... Danny Kruger is an evangelical.
Yeah.
And so actually he's coming from this, not from the point of view that I'm arguing. He's actually coming from it from a sort of very Americanized interpretation of Christianity. I really hate when people invoke Christianity in Parliament. It annoys me so much. But then what can we do?
Do you think we should live in a secular society?
Well, I think if we didn't have a monarchy, we could start talking about it. But because we've got the bloody king signing off.
Like, who is simultaneously head of state and head of church.
Exactly. Yeah. That's, you know, I don't know. Anyway, I think, did you see...
Hancock.
The Church of England tweet what they tweeted the other day?
No.
It's really funny.
I don't think I follow the Church of England
on
Twitter.
No, it just came up on Twitter for me. But it was basically just like...
Do you get a lot of religious Twitter?
Every now and again, yeah. Dabble.
A little bit of God.
Yeah, a little bit of a... Yeah. They were like, the Church of England dates back right to the 12th century. It does it, fuck. You've missed out a bit there. It's sort of like the intern logged on that morning and was like... Church of England.
Wikipedia.
Church, 12th century.
Why were they saying that?
Well, they just sort of, they were talking, I don't know, they were talking about like some of the churches that were around the UK and saying how wonderful they were. Totally missing out the bit when...
Look, I love a good church.
Yeah, I think you'd have to be a fool to hate a good church.
I love a good cathedral.
Yeah.
Went Canterbury the other day. Fucking gorgeous thing.
Did you really?
Yes.
Mm.
It's amazing. Amazing. The buildings, the history in them, you know, their place in our society. I have reverence for all of those things. I'm not like some fucking like revolutionary that wants to burn it all down. I just don't want it anywhere near my life. Mm. It's like, it's not, I like being able to be like, oh, I'm going to go and look at your silly little god house today. Isn't it funny that you all do this? Oh, it's quite beautiful as well. But
me at the Barbican.
the temple mount of brutalism.
Your little ode to socialism. Oh, your little project.
Do you find any arguments against assisted dying compelling?
One, but in a very nuanced way that I don't like to. The one of perhaps you will find like one in 1 million cases where someone is pushing their older parent to die.
Yeah, for sure. I think I understand that argument completely, right? I think no one is suggesting here that it's like carte blanche. It's open. Everyone gets a shotgun and go and do away with your granddad. There obviously have to be safeguards in place. Do you know? No one's suggesting that it's just, if you get power of attorney, you can tick box for someone and off they go and they die.
Yeah.
Surely that's what we're advocating for.
It's kind of like the veganism stuff we were talking about yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
There's no nuanced discussion. It's always extrapolated out into these like huge extremes.
Yeah.
There's no normal way of talking. Because what Esther Ranson is saying is so sensible. You almost go, just sign it off. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, I think there are versions of this that are quite limited, right? Where it's just, you have to have a terminal disease as diagnosed by a doctor. You have to be assessed as, I think with children it's like Gillick competent, right? But Gillick competent that you can make your own decisions, that you're like, you are compos mentis. I think if you have given power of attorney to someone, and you're no longer capable of making a decision for yourself, I think at that point you probably shouldn't be eligible for it. I think it's only you that can make this decision, personally. And it can be quite limited in scope. I mean, personally, you know, I am broadly okay with... That's a bad way of saying it. If you want to kill yourself, I don't think it's the state's job to say, stop. I don't think the state can say that. It's your life, you are sovereign over your body, over yourself, over your life. You get to make that decision, in my eyes.
So you're making the Jacob Rees-Mogg nanny state argument. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Okay.
Chronic overreach of the state getting in the way of me topping myself. Yeah.
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 I think it's so simple that I can't even offer different perspectives on it. I just think it's so obvious that if you've got a terminal illness and you're facing... you're looking down the barrel of 30 years of chronic pain.
Mm.
I don't know why on earth someone else gets to tell you that you have to live with that sentence. It's basically, you're being, you know, people just getting imprisoned in their own bodies for the, like, sometimes half of their lives.
It's my greatest fear, other than hammers. Locked-in syndrome.
No. No. We're not doing this. Because the last time we talked about it, I'm a claustrophobic. This affected me in ways for weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, let's, no, I don't.
We won't talk about it then.
I had to get the tube this morning.
What a fucking day to get the tube.
You're telling me.
I know.
And so I had to take a beta blocker.
Were you anywhere near Hainault?
No. But I got to Liverpool Street anyway.
Yeah.
And then I was like about to, I don't get on the tube.
No,
I just
don't
get on it.
No, you don't.
I think the last time I got on it, I came in and was like, go.
Yeah.
So then I took this beta blocker before I got on the tube and I had to wait on the platform for it to kick in. By the time I got to where I needed to go, zen.
Oh, really?
Zen. So calm. So peaceful.
There are people who'll say, you cycle, right? You cycle a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a big advocate for cycling, having also been knocked off my bike by a private hire taxi, by the by. There are people who say, sorry, you willingly cycle around central London, but you won't get on the tube. And they'll think that that's an insane thing.
Yeah.
Because there are people, particularly when I go back home and tell people that I cycle around London, they're like, what the fuck? Why would you do that? Why? They think it's like a genuinely insane, like dangerous, highly dangerous thing to do. And I guess it probably is. Actually.
Well, I think you have to be very good at the roads. I think if you only have a cursory relationship with like driving in London... if you can't drive in London, you shouldn't be cycling.
You are at one with the road.
I am at one. You know that? You know when the Pope gets off the plane and kisses the ground? That's me.
With the Roads of London.
Yes.
It's a great intertwining of God and cycling that we've just been discussing. Mm. It's masterful.
One thing I really hate when we talk about, it's not my fault that I was brought up Catholic, but whenever we talk about it on this podcast, the shit that you get from people about it,
oh, really?
Is unbelievable.
I've noticed that there has been a hesitancy in you.
Yeah.
Talking about this just now.
Yeah, there has been. I've not really...
Should we move on?
No, I don't mind. It's so bizarre. People are so desperate to tell you that it's a load of shit. It's like, that's absolutely fine.
Are we done with assisted dying? I think this is only meant to be a shorty of an episode.
Yeah, I think the conclusion is it's so obviously sensible. We should just get on with it.
We certainly should. Keep religion out of politics, my guy.
Yeah, keep it out. Keep the king out too. Ooh. What's the point? What's the point in having the head of state signing off any bill that goes through, any legislation? What's the point of royal assent? Seriously, they never veto it, do they?
No.
So what's the point?
Great question.
He's really phoning that job in. Like, he's really phoning it in.
He has been phoning it in recently. He's only fucking just gone back to work.
It's true, that, isn't it? That's a nice way to think. Yeah, okay. You're evil for that.
You know what? Before this program, podcast, I didn't come into it thinking, oh, I'm going to make a joke about cancer today. But I've done it twice.
Yeah.
Cool.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Shut the fridge.
It's the Politics Show cast.
A defection, Ava Santina.
Defection.
Splitters!
What's quite funny here is that on Laura's notes... Oh, I see why you've done that now. She's put down the defection of MP and psychiatrist. And I just thought, why have you put psychiatrist? And now I get it's meaningful for the story. So Dr. Dan Poulter, Conservative, has decided, even though he's stepping down at the next election, he cannot defend the Conservatives' record on the NHS anymore. Mm. And so he has defected to Labour. I now realise you've put psychiatrist in because, yes, he's in the profession, so that makes sense.
So...
I thought you were just validating him. Like, he's got another job.
So what do you think about this? What do you think about this defection?
I thought the statement was quite weak. Mm. That the NHS doesn't seem to be a priority for the Conservatives. Okay, well, it's not really a priority for you either because you've been at the helm and you have decided you're not going to stand at the next election. If you really cared, would you not go, I'm going to stay in post and I'm going to fight and I'm going to convince this lot to do something about it?
So, yeah, I understand that argument. He said he thinks he's going to advise the Labour Party on mental health policy.
Yeah.
But not as an MP. I thought if you've been you are a consultant in the NHS, you have been in it for years, and we're going to talk about the timing of you departing. Why did you stay during COVID when you were watching your NHS colleagues marching towards the front line in bin bags? I know people, right, who were working on those COVID wards, who did extraordinary, like lived in caravans outside where they were staying, so they didn't risk infecting the people they were living with, right? A lot of self-sacrifice. And you look at the way, whether it's been overpay in the last couple of years, the fucking naked incompetence and backhanders in relation to the PPE during the pandemic, you have decided now is the time to make your defection over any point in the last 4 years. And I can only think that the proximity to an election in which you're a coward. You voted with the Conservatives over and over and over again, and it is only now, when the writing is on the wall, that they're about to get electorally massacred, you've gone, oh, you know what, I'll be a Labour MP.
Doesn't want his legacy to be that he was in the Conservative Party and booted out.
I'm sure there's been a long, you know, these conversations, people don't just defect overnight, right? Like, it's a process, there's a lot of conversations, and they would have timed it specifically in relation probably to the local elections, right?
What have you heard from him before this? When have you heard him being a whistleblower? When have you heard him sound the alarm?
He was a health minister, wasn't he?
Yeah, but when have you heard him say,
no,
like, anything?
Yeah. He also said that the Tories are increasingly becoming a nationalist party of the right, which is kind of like... You just started paying attention now, have you?
Yeah.
Sam Gyimah said that when he defected in 2019. Like, you could have listened to him then, couldn't you? But no.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't have much. And also, by the way, I felt fucking terrible for Rosanna Allen Khan.
Yeah.
You know, mental health minister who gets told there's no place at the cabinet table for you anymore.
That was nuts. And there will be a position now that's just solely dedicated to mental health.
And this guy comes over and it's all singing, all dancing.
It's really funny because there's a few Conservative press launches that have happened over the past couple of weeks that have got such a blindingly obvious resolution.
Sorry, you just reminded me of the story you told earlier.
What?
Well, you said, oh, there've been a few press events, and I said, you at them.
I actually, yeah, that's all I do at press. That's all I do at press off.
I'm the entertainment.
Mm. Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, this is not the only dress from this brand that's done that.
Why do you keep buying them?
Because I thought it was me not buttoning it up properly. I actually think
victim
it's,
blaming.
It's not classic like, victim it's not blaming. I've got that. A huge rack, and it's just like, you know, like no, but I don't.
What am I meant to say when you say that? Whatever I say, it's bad. Do I say no, Ava? You have no. Obviously, I'm not going to say that.
You could have just let me carry on speaking.
Sorry, please. Sorry, the floor is yours. The floor is yours. Go ahead.
I don't think I asked for a reaction.
The format of the show is you
validate
say,
my rack.
You say something and then I say something. That's how this works. It's a podcast.
What I was saying was the structural integrity of the dress should be able to sustain my frame. That's what I'm saying. All right? It's going to give me body dysmorphia. Yeah, now we're getting into it. Let's go. You look so scared.
Say something else for me to reply to.
Okay. So the problem with my rack. Sorry. So the Conservatives, their approach to various... Okay, so the Conservatives in the past couple of weeks have proved that they've been very able to identify current issues that we have in the country at the moment, yeah?
Mm.
Problems where we have kind of like a bottleneck or we have, you know, stagnation. For example, they've identified that the number of people who are now on PIP because of mental health is bad. There are many, many more people who are receiving PIP payments because of their mental health. Now, very good at identifying that. The next thing they should have done is gone, what's the cause of that? And then they might have been able to look into, I don't know, the sort of crisis that a lot of people in this country are facing at the moment. And they might have gone, do you know what might be a good idea? Why don't we actually provide more funding to provide therapy for people who need it, or, you know, let's try and get people off of medication. Let's try and get them onto the path back into work, you know, through treatment.
Mm.
Let's look at it like that. And instead, they go, cut the payments. Cut them off.
Make it easier. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like the blindingly obvious option that they had, which was to fund something worthwhile, meaningful. And they went, fuck it, let's go back to 2004. Let's cut them off.
Yeah, let's cut them off. I think the... With that
I meant
one,
2014, sorry, not 2004.
There's a... Yeah, I know. It's like a... There's more than 1 million people waiting for to receive mental health treatment. There are drug shortages because of Brexit. At some point, the penny has to drop that... Oh, this is terrible because now our welfare bill's really high because everyone's got these mental health problems.
Mm.
Have you considered trying to address them? Have you considered trying to fix them? Have you considered why? In the statistic he used was that that it's about 50%, I think it is 50% of PIP claimants are listing either depression or anxiety as one of the reasons that they're off work. But if you actually look at the ONS data that from where that quote comes, for the majority, I won't say vast majority, for a lot of those people, they're listing mental health as a secondary condition. So it's, I am disabled, I have had an injury, I am chronically sick, and I'm now also depressed because I'm not working, or my condition has made me anxious. For a lot of these people, it's not, because I think the way they're trying to dress it up is basically, you know, millennials who have anxiety basically being, I'm going to claim universal credit because I'm a bit anxious about going into work. It's not who most of these people are.
Mm.
Most of these people are people with physical disabilities. Part of their general state of existence is that it makes them depressed and anxious. And this is one of the things that frustrates me most about the mental health conversation. We like to medicalize and we like to remove the individual from the context in which their mental health exists. So rather than saying, we've spoken about it before on the podcast, what's your housing situation like? What are your relationships like? Are you single? Do you have friends? Where's your family? How's your job? What are you eating? Are you exercising regularly? How's the housing market? How's the job market? What are the conditions of the society in which you live? Because quite possibly your health isn't just something that's going on in your head that's a problem for you to solve. Your mental health is something which connects to the world in which you live, which, by the way, the government, it's not like the government has no control over that. They can adjust those factors that are feeding into that mental health picture for an individual.
But he's also identified that, Sunak. He's also identified that people might be feeling the way that they are because of their temporary situation. And again, rather than saying, maybe we should do something about housing, he goes, cut them off.
Yeah, cut them off. Smart. Considering this is only a bonus episode, Ava, I think we might finish it there. Do you think we should finish it there?
Yeah.
A little Tuesday treat. They've had enough. I think they're full. I actually think they're full. They're full of podcast beans.
Do you know one thing I just wanted to add in, which I thought was quite interesting?
Please.
Rishi Sunak has not been on the campaign trail with Susan Hall at all.
I wouldn't, to be honest with you.
Hmm?
I wouldn't attach myself to that. That cause.
No.
I think the Tories had a real opportunity to, if they'd have actually put someone decent up for it, there was an opportunity with this election to give Sadiq Khan a run for his money. Unfortunately, they put her up for it.
But they've put three candidates up against him that have been total shite.
Sean Bailey was bad.
Was shite.
I think Zach Goldsmith had a chance.
Do you think?
Well, until he did his big old racism.
Yeah, they love. What is that? They went from. They looked at the last two candidates, particularly Zach Goldsmith, and they went, yeah, he went for the anti-Muslim thing. That didn't work. Let's go again. Like
we go again.
We
boys.
Go again.
Yeah. They'll just keep banging their heads against a brick wall.
What?
London's like, will you fuck off?
What do you think the selection process was like for CCHQ? Like they were just ringing around going, have you liked any posts by Enoch Powell recently?
No, I genuinely think no one wanted to go for it. I think that's how you end up with a candidate like
Loads
that.
Loads of people want to be London mayor.
It's basically just Paul Scully at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, why didn't they put Paul Scully? He really wanted to be here.
Yeah.
A friend of mine, we were at a thing where Paul Scully was at. before Susan, just before Susan got selected. And I don't know why, he'd had too much to drink and he just would not leave Paul alone. He was like, I know you want to be mayor. Tell me you're up for the selection. I was like, babe, we're now straying outside of the realms of journalism now. And we're
this is harassment.
This is harassment. Leave him alone. He was loving it.
Right.
Yeah, that's it.
Is that us?
That's us.
Avery Santina, always a pleasure, never a chore.
Ollie Dugmore.
See you on the next one.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.